You don't know how hard it is and how tough you need to be when it comes and it hits you. You know, I mean, you find yourself alone and yeah, you're going to cry. You're going to have those things, you know. I mean, I try not to cry, but the pain, you know, you feel this pain of just, you know, you don't know what to do at this point.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jordan Harbinger. As always, I'm here with my producer, Jason DeFilippo. On this episode, we'll be talking with Fab Morvan. Now, this guy, blast from the past, but also such a positive soul. I just really, Jason, you got me this guy. It took forever. And I at first was like, why do you want me to interview Fab Morvan? I don't understand. And now I get it. He is just such a positive dude. If you don't remember Milli Vanilli, essentially, these guys, they were a huge hit act. And it turned out that they had been lip-syncing all of their music. They gave back their Grammy. They immediately were retired in shame. And of course, it wasn't their idea. They could dance and they could sing and they were great performers and they were really positive and interesting and fun guys. It was a classic case of the music industry just ruining these two guys. And Fab came out of it guns blazing. It's taken him years and years and years, but good for him. Good thing for him, he doesn't age, right, Jason? Have you noticed?
Oh yeah,
he just froze in time. He's a good looking dude. It's amazing. Must work out a lot. Must eat a lot of greens.
I met Fab in the early 2000s, and he looks identical. I look at pictures of me and him together, and then him now, and then me now, and it's like, oh wow. I did not take care of myself compared to him. It's incredible what he's gone through to look good, as he says, you know. But you know, not drinking, not doing drugs like he did when he was a kid, that helps a lot.
Yeah, I love that one of his primary answers was to stop doing drugs. But anyway, we'll get into that in the interview. We're going to talk about how to recover from a life-shattering, very public mess. If he can do it, you can do it. We're going to talk about positivity, but not in that cheesy, just do it kind of way. In very practical methodologies, how to surround yourself with the right type of people. We'll also talk about what happens if you find yourself caught in a terrible situation, how you should handle it, how you should take care of yourself, and how you might handle things differently moving forward. There's a lot of practicals in here that we can take away from Fab, and I just loved the conversation. He was very, very under the weather, and he still just knocked this one out of the park, and I was thankful for this opportunity. Don't forget, we have a worksheet for today's episode, so you can make sure you solidify your understanding of the key takeaways here from Fab Morvan. That link is in the show notes at jordanharbinger.com/podcast. All right, here's Fab. First of all, the last thing that I watched today was Arsenio Hall. What year was that?
I think 93, yeah.
Yeah.
That was 1993. Yeah.
Yeah, Robin Fab. And I look at the clothes and I was telling producer Jason, I said, look at what these guys were wearing then. Because look, you're European, right? But also pop stars, and also 80s, 90s. So I'm just like, where do you even get stuff? Like, where do you get a mesh shirt that is open all the way in the front? Somebody makes that stuff just for you guys, right?
Yeah, we had some, you know, you always run into, you know, we're into music. Music is connected to fashion.
Sure.
So you always get connected with designers and, you know, can make custom things because the goal is to be different from the rest, from the norms. You want to have your own identity. So, and this show was promoted for about a month. It was a big thing.
Yeah.
It was Robin Fab's first single coming out. We Can Get It On. And we killed them. Anybody can go check it out?
Oh, I'll link it in the show notes because I watched it. And I remember thinking like, one thing I noticed, one, you guys did kill it. Two, they really did Arsenio's stage setup was bomb. They don't have that anymore.
No, they don't. I mean, Arsenio really, when it came to bring music to the audience that was sitting there, but also sitting at home.
Yeah.
For both audiences, it was an amazing experience, always.
Because now you see live musical acts on maybe Saturday Night Live, but you can just tell it's small
restricted
stage.
It's very restricted.
Yeah. And you had like the full setup.
Bro, you saw us move from like the back to the middle, to the front, to approaching the audience that was sitting in the front. Yeah, it was fun, man. It was just, we came alive that night and it was a fun show. We were able to show what we were capable of doing. And I'll never forget that day.
I want to get to that
as well and come full circle. But let's start from the beginning. First of all, you look good. I know you said you're under the weather, but it must be all good because you look good, man.
You know what? I was downtown one time. I was last year. And then this black man passed by on the bike. He said, "Man, you look good. So it's all good." And I said, I've thought about it, you know, an American idiom. Like that. And I was like, that makes total sense. And it's true. You know, everything is good. When you feel good and look good, you're making things happen. And I'm doing things.
Yeah.
Step by step, the turtle will always finish the race.
I love the tortoise and the hare analogy, especially.
Yes.
I'm always bringing that up when people go, "Oh man, you lost this thing or this isn't happening." I just zoom out far enough on the timeline and you'll be fine, right?
That's right.
Because you just keep on moving forward. I was just wondering what you have to eat to stay looking almost the same from 1988 to 2018.
Well, first of all, I stopped doing drugs at 25.
All right.
I mean, that was like number one, first thing. And then eventually you have to sleep normal hours if you can.
You're not doing that right now.
No.
But
you gotta eat also properly. And educate yourself, read upon whatever you wanna. You know, you can study on fooding and sport and what fits your body type, but love what you do. When you love what you do, it shows. And I love what I do.
You said you stopped doing drugs, and I would imagine that that's something that, well, first of all, we know a lot of people can't stop doing that. And I know that that's a part of the story. And I definitely want to get to that. I know that you met the other half of Milli Vanilli? I don't know if you say that.
My brother.
Your brother, yeah, Rob.
My brother, Rob Pilatus. Yeah.
You guys met in Munich, and the only information about this that I could find was they met at a nightclub in Munich and they decided to form a rock/soul group. Okay. What are you? You're hanging out at a club and you just see another guy. "Hey man, you're a pretty good dancer. We should do, win some Grammys."
What happened was, we came to Munich, his turf, his territory, not many black people around. Black friends of mine from Paris. And we started dating the same girls. That's how it happened. That's how he heard about me and I heard about him. And I started seeing him and he started seeing me. And you have that competitive thing going on. And then my friends kind of went back to Paris. And I was thinking, well, you know, if you can't beat him, join him. Let's join forces. And when we joined forces, it just it felt great. You know, I felt like a unit. It felt like a meant-to-be thing. We both loved music. He spoke fair English. I spoke a little bit of English as well. But with a little bit of vocabulary that we had, we were able to communicate and realize that music was everything for us. So when that was established, I said, well, let's hang together. Let's let the world know that we are looking for producers. We want to go into pop music.
So you didn't even really have the ability to talk to one another in that in-depth initially because of the language barrier?
Not in depth. But you know when, I don't know, I don't know if you've always spoke English.
No, I speak other languages.
I speak other languages?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's more like you will always find a way to communicate what you're thinking. And eventually we both spoke better English.
Mm-hmm.
And then we never had to speak that much anymore because we knew each other so well. So it was just a glance, the variation between those glances, we just knew. So if someone would come into the room, we knew exactly, now get this person out, not feeling it. You know, it's just like there was a certain communication. And then if really we needed to say something, then we spoke in German together. Because first I didn't speak German, but I studied German in school. And then by staying in Germany a little longer, then I started to learn how to speak German. So sometimes we switch in German. People were like, "What's going on the air, straight up?" You know, and then go back to English.
Yeah. Just ignore the German. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is before the days of instant translation, transcription, podcast,
true,
YouTube. Yeah. So, all right. So you form the group, you get the attention of Farian, who is Frank Farian. And at this point, he signs you guys. And this is before the days of where now we see, okay, someone like these pop groups where you, I don't know what they call it, like, almost like music in a can, right? It's like, this is designed. This is a boy band. They fit this cutout. We've got the bad guy. We've got the alt guy. We've got the handsome guy, traditional. We got the tough guy. Like, this is before all that stuff.
It is. That is true. You know, but if you think about it, we go way back. Do a group, you know, but it was more based on a certain vocal type, baritone, falsetto. It was based like that. But then later in time, they created the personality because it attracted the girls. So they got smarter. It became a science. When we came in, we had no idea. We just picked up clothes off the rack, whether it was women's clothes, whether it was men's clothes. We thought it was dope. Man, you like it? I like it. It looks good. That was it. It was no really thought process. The dancing, same thing. I was a dancer when I was younger. I did all the choreographies, and we just did it. It had energy, and since we were performing for years together, we knew what touched people, you know. And then we always were performing in clubs, so we went from small clubs, and then ended up on big stages. The big stages felt really supernatural for us. And I just felt great. We had on our stage, we had put extra stairs at the end, and we were doing those Olympian poses at the beginning of the show, you know, dramatic.
In your women's clothes that you picked up off?
No, that was different. I think it was just a pair of tights we had on that point, you know, all worked out, sweaty. It was like, yeah, that would be a good time to just take the shirt off at this time. You know, it was just we love performing. We love show. We love entertaining people. We understood, you know, peaks and valley in a show, climax, and touching, reaching, entertaining, and make sure that they never forget that you came through.
It's a shame, of course, to hear how connected you guys were and all the music and lyrics and everything that you guys created. And then Farian is kind of behind your back, making his own agenda. And you guys were like 19 or something?
Yeah, he created this trap, and we had no idea about the industry, you know, so we just fell into that man's trap. And the first time we came to the studio, it was just platinum records everywhere. Like, you know, so you get really inspired, like, wow, this is the home for us. We are supposed to be here. So whatever he's going to say yes. And that's how it went, you know. So we started getting a little bit of advance money every time we came to the studio. Nothing truly happened. We always were waiting and waiting and waiting. What I've learned later was that he had a whole full team. He had four studios before SSLs and Neves. In each room with teams working. Once he found his front men's.
You guys.
The front guys. Yeah. He was like, okay, I got my plan together. Part of my plan is together. So I'm going to send them back. I get my teams to work. We keep waiting and waiting and waiting until the day. Hey, I got a song for you. Great. Let's go. He plays an instrumental. And we'd be rocking in there. You know, huge. Like, it looks so American to us. You know, I think it was about 80 channels lighting up.
Oh, my gosh. On the mixer. So 80 different instruments and things playing at once. And how old are you at this point? Like 19 years old?
I think
old?
It was 20. 20 or 21, you know?
So you're not even old enough to have a drink here
in
the States at this point.
That's right. And we're just flabbergasted, just in awe of this beat that we hear. Boom. And we see ourselves already around the world like, yo, so when are we going to do this? We ready?
Yeah.
And then he takes us to a room next door where he had a vinyl printer, Neumann vinyl printer.
And then, like a record printer?
Yeah.
I've never seen that, but it makes sense that it exists.
Yeah, because back in the days, what he would do, he would create the music and he would go to this black club and test it. Just like DJs are doing right now. You know, like they do the produce music, go to the dance floor and check, oh, I need to change this. And he was a smart guy. So he would take it to this African-American club and then he would test it. And he knew exactly what to fix after that. You know, give it to the DJ, get like, you know, statistics, you know, and just go back. So he takes us to that room where he was doing that cutting. And he starts speaking in German with Rob. At this point, I didn't speak German very well. So I'm listening to them and it seems it gets intense And all the joy and happiness that was emanating from the room we left is switched to that very dark and gray, gloomy vibe. They were both getting at each other. It was like, it was about to look like they were fighting, verbal, you know. And then Frank left the room. And my dude looks at me and says, oh, he wants us to lip sync. And I'm like, I'm trying to understand what that means, kind of, you know. He's lip sync, we didn't know the word lip sync.
Yeah.
So he said it in English, but I don't know how he said, but I got it. Like, you know, we're not going to sing. And then I'm like, well, we're not doing this.
Because you'd already signed the contract at this point.
We signed a total, like, well, you know, we signed the contract not knowing that it was, we signed a couple pages, but right. We didn't know that it was
6 inches thick. Yeah.
It was thick, bro. And there was no manager. There was no attorneys. We just signed because we wanted to get signed and get a little bit of advance money so we could work on that hair.
Yeah.
Get some new clothes.
Rob was working at Wendy's, right? When you guys signed, or he said something like that.
No, I don't think he was working.
No. Wendy's. Okay. No. So maybe that was just a joke for Arsenio Hall.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. 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 But we were very, you know, we would, struggling artist.
He's the handsomest burger flipper Wendy's ever had. That's what I was thinking. This guy flipping burgers. It's like, no, put him at the register. He sells a lot of burgers. Put him at the register. The girls keep coming back and buying fries.
And then what happened was they came back to us and very simple. They broke it down for us and said, listen, if you don't want to go forward, it's fine. Just pay us back.
Oh, yeah, sure. Hold on. Let me sign you a $25,000 check.
No, it was not that much, but for us, it was too much to just pay back and work. Like, how are we going to do this? So we just agreed to just, you know, dumb us because we had no idea. Yeah, we just, we pay you back by, well, so when we thought we were getting out of it, we were getting deeper into it.
Sure.
So we said, okay, we do that one single, that one thing, and then we're out. Oh, yeah. You know, just to pull you in a little more.
Sure. This was, he was experienced at doing this kind of thing. I mean, he's a producer in Hollywood.
Listen, he's done it before. And he sold 120, 130 million records with that other act that was called Bonnie M.
Bonnie M, yeah.
That's one of the few acts that went diamond in the history of music.
What is diamond again? Is that a million or is it 10 million?
I don't know, but he... Yeah, it's 10 million, but it was...
Yeah, but it was like 8 diamonds, right, instead of just one.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
He's one of the few in the music industry who was able to accomplish that.
Unbelievable.
And he did that with them. So the guy had experience. We had the youth. He had the experience. We were hungry for this thing, you know, to experience it. So because of the sheer hunger we had, and this love and passion we had for music, we said, let's go ahead. Not knowing that, you know, we would be seduced by this life, this lifestyle, this rock, pop rock lifestyle.
Sure. And I would imagine getting a taste of that would change anyone. I know.
Totally.
This episode is sponsored in part by The Great Courses Plus. As you know, you're listening to this show, being a successful person professionally and personally requires constant learning. That's why we are bombarding you with awesomeness 3 times a week. Sharpening your skills, understanding more about the world around you. These are all priorities for the high performer. And that's what's so great about The Great Courses Plus. Unlimited access to learn from top professors and experts about anything that interests you. Business, history, science, freaking photography. Watch or listen to the lectures at any time from anywhere with the Great Courses Plus app. What I like about the app is you can turn off the video. Sorry, all you ill-fitting suit professors teaching these classes. I don't need to see you. I'm a podcast guy. I got a face for radio. So do many of you. Don't take it personally. But I highly recommend checking out their course, Thinking Like an Economist, A Guide to Rational Decision Making. You know me. They had me at rational decision making. You can improve your day-to-day decision-making using practical principles and analytical tools of top economists. Learn how to optimize the decisions you make by better understanding the motivations of those around you. It's a great course to get started with, or they've got over 10,000 freaking lectures in here. 10,000. You can spend your life in The Great Courses Plus. You know, your life outside of the Jordan Harbinger Show, of course. And I know you're going to get so much out of this. I've arranged a special limited-time offer for my listeners. Our listeners. Sorry, Jason. Unlimited access to learn about anything free for an entire month. Sign up with our special URL. So special. TheGreatCoursesPlus.com/ Jordan. Surprise. TheGreatCoursesPlus.com/Jordan. This episode is also sponsored by Roan. Now, they told me to talk about the Salient running short sleeve shirt, but I would rather put my face through my display here than talk about that shirt again. I love it. I have four of them, and they work great. They keep the man stink off you. I wore it actually the whole time when I was in Boston and New York for over the last 10 days. I wore the crap out of these things, and I did all kinds of sports with it, and I walked around the city in it, and I would just sort of change into whatever I needed to before my interviews or my TV appearances. But I gotta say, they make other stuff over there at Roan. They make the commuter pant. They've got shorts that are just awesome. I don't like shorts. I love my Roan shorts. They're just really breathable. They feel like athletic shorts, but they don't look like I'm about to have my junk fly out while jogging down the West Side Highway. You know those shorts, Jason?
Way to paint a picture for the audience, Jordan.
You're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome. You are welcome. But they've got all kinds of great stuff. Jason, you wear your commuter pants like all the time. I'm wearing Roan stuff left and right, including the new Salient running short sleeve shirt with silver tech fabric. No, seriously, good product. Go to roan.com to see more. R-H-O-N-E.com. 15% off your first purchase with use of the code Jordan at checkout. Let us know if you have problems with this code. They had some issues with it because some overzealous or zealous potentially, just maybe not over, posted it somewhere and it got a ton of traffic. And they're like, oh, you can't post the code. And we're like, we didn't post the code. So the code has some issues. So if you have any issues, just email me, Jordan@JordanHarbinger.com. I'll get you squared away with Roan there. Roan.com, promo code Jordan. Let me know what else you find there. I'm always down to try new Roan stuff.
People are going to ask me this, so I'm going to throw it out there. How did you come up with the name Milli Vanilli? Because I think, of course, everyone says, oh, which one are you interviewing? Is it Milli or Vanilli? And it's like, well, I don't know if they name, you know, you didn't accept that as your name. It was just the name of the group,
well,
right?
The name, we came up with Vanilli. And then the person that was working with the producer came up. Her name was Milli.
Really?
Yeah. So then, and we were thinking about Skritti Berlitti, which was an English
Skritti
band.
Berlitti.
Yeah, Skritti Berlitti was an English band. Very cool band in the 80s. And we thought, yeah, that sounds cool. And we stayed with it. And then some people told us it means positive energy in Turkish. So we ran with that for years. And then until we met Turkish-speaking person says, not at all.
Doesn't sound Turkish. Yeah.
Oh, okay then. It just sounded cool, and it felt like it represented both person. But for us, it was just the name of the group. Mm-hmm. And I think that happens oftentimes. Who's sure. Pink? Who's Floyd?
You know. Oh, just, yeah. I never thought about that.
Yeah. I've heard interviews, and they went through that. So, but it sounded nice to the ear and colorful. And we were very colorful.
Yeah, definitely. And and it's an especially, yeah, there's a lot of colors involved. In fact, my childhood, one of the memories that sticks is always you guys in the red and the blue, I don't know what they were,
jackets.
Giant jackets. Yeah, like go down to about mid-thigh.
That's what it was.
Pair of tights, doing the like kick the leg out.
Doc Martens.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you know, Doc Martens.
Heavy shoes.
Yeah, I saw that and I was thinking, how you guys are dancing like crazy and just like almost like flipping around, and you're wearing these shoes that each weigh 10 pounds.
Well, we were fit, bro.
Yeah.
You know, we were fit. And Rob was a soccer player, and I was a gymnast, and I was also a dancer. And it's just, we just love to be physical and to combine it with the dancing and chest bump. Mm-hmm. Super high.
Oh, yeah, the chest bump. That's like the slow motion in the video. Oh, my gosh.
And then what we did, like, we took parts of those things. We did our choreographed it ourselves. And on the stairs, we'd go up there, and then we'd run full force. And then, like, pow.
Explosion.
You know, explosion. And it was about, you know, performing is about emotions and taking the people who got the music, get them into the feeling, you know, get them deeper into the feeling. And we love taking them on that ride because it was fun for us. It made us feel alive because we knew once the show was over, it was very sad always because we were faced with the reality. You know, it's like the mirror comes up and you're like, ah, damn, you know, I'm living a dream, but it's not truly all the way. It's like halfway.
Because you knew the whole time you had that in the back of your mind that it wasn't.
Not only that, vocal. It's just when I was on stage, I had John Davis's voice and Robert Brett Howell's voice. So instead of being two on stage, we were four. And I was always aware of that, always. You know, so the fact that we were not truly singing live, I think we compensated and brought more into it. And so make sure that there was no, you know, that it wouldn't look sure. off.
Sure. So you focused even more on the physicality of the act.
Yeah.
Because you knew that it wasn't your vocals. And you guys.
It was a weird thing to deal with. You know, it's like.
Sure.
It's like you're fighting with yourself. You want it, but no, it's not. It's not. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They did it like that. You cannot. And of course, when the second single came, we were ready to go for number two, but of course not. And then we were hit with reality again. Like, of course, yeah. If they did the first, we can't do the second.
Of course, because you just can't switch the vote. You can't change horses midstream. You already have the brand out there.
And by that time, you're hooked.
Yeah.
You know, you press number five or six, depending where hotel, what hotel you're in, and then you order the food. 20 minutes later, the food is here, and everything appears to be free. Everything is recoupable, but everything appears to be free. So then you can go from the hotel to the limousine, and then you go to the club. You don't have to pay for nothing. You get bottle service, and you're the king at this point. You know, whatever you point, whatever you want, you get. And everybody says yes. You're surrounded by yes, yes, yes. You're the greatest. So it's hard after a while not to believe your own press.
Yeah.
You know, you're so young. No one is there to pull you back down to earth. The family is not around. We're in America now. Parents are in Europe. So you're on your own. You're the boss. You have about 75 to 80 people working for you.
Oh.
You're the guy that pays the bills.
What did your parents think at this point? They must have just been. Did they know? They didn't know that you didn't do.
They didn't know the amplitude of the magnitude of what we were involved with, as far as like the fact that we were bosses, people working for us, and also the fact that we were so famous around the globe.
Did they know that you were struggling with the idea that you didn't do the vocals, or was that a secret?
No,
that
came later. Came later.
So nobody knew except for you and Rob.
But my dad,
musicians.
My mom doesn't speak English.
Okay.
My dad kind of speaks English a little bit. So he was like, didn't say nothing. Told my brother, like, is that your brother's voice?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, forget about him.
Oh, man.
To dad.
Because they would have, you know, if it's your kid singing.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I was not trying to go there.
Yeah.
All.
Like, no. Let's not talk about that at Christmas.
Oh, I know. It was total denial, for sure. I mean, I knew at some point that the train would stop. I was well aware of that.
You saw it coming. And what's really just crazy to me is that you guys could sing and dance. Why bother with the lip syncing thing, right? I've seen you sing.
It was a control thing.
Yeah. You know,
Frank Farian had a plan, and he just wanted to control us. And that came out later. We see how he worked with people, and he had done it before. And it was just control as much as you can. So when we realized that that's what he was doing, we try to get away from him. And it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
You know, at first, so we were able to get our own tour. You know, we did the MTV tour, then we did our own tour, 107 cities in 8 months. And that was so much fun. We were in control. And he felt that we were gaining control, and he didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I bet.
So he was trying to pull us back with everything possible.
Yeah.
You know, get back to Europe. And we got a second album to make, and we were like, oh, hold up.
Yeah, we want to do the vocals now.
Yeah.
But he said,
it was that.
That's not going to work.
And we knew it was not going to work. So it was like, well, you know what? We're just going to play with him. That's what we're going to do. We're going to piss him off. And we pissed him off so much that he flew to New York and told the world, you know, they didn't sing on the record.
It just seems like...
But he created it all. You know, so
yeah.
He wanted to be in control, and he didn't want to see those two guys that he made and created do something else, because we're in the process of switching teams, and I think he caught whiff of it.
So he just said, "You know what?
To I'm hell tear with it you up guys. Right now.
Yeah, I'm going to light it all on fire and watch it all burn down.
Oh yes, I'm not going to let those two. You know, and he actually told us early on, "Don't F with me." Out of nowhere.
He said, don't screw with me.
Out of nowhere. Everything was cool. I think we just finished drinking champagne and signed the contract. All nice. And then he comes out with that. And I understood that in German. It was very simple. Fick mich mit mir.
He spoke to you guys in German. That is so random.
Yeah, he never spoke English with me. He always spoke German.
Huh.
So at first I was like, you know, but I was getting better with it. Eventually, so I would follow everything he says, but out of nowhere he said that, and I was like, after that, we're like, what? And we said nothing; we didn't even respond.
Yeah, because you're just like, oh, maybe he's joking, and it's just awkward, right?
And Rob was like, yeah, this dude is crazy. I was like, yeah, you know, don't believe everything you see. You know, everything's nice, but remember that we said, remember that, because that's gonna come back. Because he said, don't F with me because I can take it all away or something like that.
So he's really just like a diabolical control freak.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Wow.
And I saw some outburst. We did see some things that were like, wow, that dude is... And his ego was pretty big. The size of the Eiffel Tower and the Twin Towers put together. Sorry, but, you know, this... Yeah, he was just... Egolomaniac.
Yeah, and you guys are money machines at the peak. I mean, I think I looked this up. It was something like 500 million in sales. And I'm guessing...
I don't know.
I'm guessing you don't see royalties from any of your singles or CDs.
I don't know, because, you know, there was a lawsuit. And fortunately, you know, because Rob ran into a snag, then Rob signed some papers, and suddenly... The lawsuit that we were working on and about to had won. Well, everything changed because now, you know, Rob signed something and then it affected everything. So it was pretty bad. It was a bad scene. You know, like the dude didn't have enough money, you know?
Yeah. He would have been fine even if he hadn't screwed you guys out of your own careers. How do you recover from something like this? I mean, he goes on television, announces that you didn't do the vocals. How do you recover from something like that? How do you rescue your reputation?
First, there's impact.
Mm-hmm.
Impact comes in. Boom. And you kind of lost. You know, first it's relief. It's happiness, because now everyone knows it's off your back, because the monkey was on your back and it was getting heavier and heavier and heavier. So that's out. Cat is out the bag. But then reality sets in. Like, you're going to have to deal with the fact that people believed one thing and it wasn't. So now they're going to come, just like piranhas. They're going to come after you. And they're going to have some fun. Because it was we were easy targets. And I saw from the get-go, and earlier before... The news really came out. There were some Living Color sketches,
yeah,
on television, and it was hurtful. And I saw it. I was like sitting in London, in a suite, having a good time, grand old time, round table, food everywhere, and then I see that on television. It was mute. Everybody, shut the hell up. Let's check this out. And then boom, then it was. Everybody was quiet. It was like, oops. Okay. So I could see us going down that mountain. I could see the trunk. Tree trunk being, you know.
Slowly chopped down, right?
Chopped down, slowly but surely, yeah.
Because at first it was like relief, okay, the cat's out of the bag. But then, all right, we're dealing with our friends and family and fans that believed in us. But then you're starting to have it kind of like rubbed in your face, right? Pop culture references of the type that are unflattering.
Like, and the media and the comedians and... I mean, you know, it was perfect to have some fun with. They didn't sing on the record. You know, so they had a good time with it, you know, and then they went hard. They went super hard. And sometimes they crossed the line and it affected Rob. I knew that it would be ugly. So I had gotten ready for it. You know, like I use that analogy every time when you're in a fight, you get hit on the chin, you're stiff, you're ready. But he was too chilled. So when he hit his chin, bam, took him on the floor, KO. TKO.
Why do you think that it affected Rob more than it affected you at the time?
Well, I knew that the train would stop at some point, so I was trying to stop doing the hardcore drugs as well. I was trying to limit it so I could get my feet on the ground and get back to reality and make sense of what I was thinking and feeling at the same time. So, and Rob was not doing that. He was actually going harder because the pain of losing it all, you know, because we did this to ourselves. We pushed him and we knew it would happen. And we knew that there would be consequences to that. Action equal reaction always. But he took balls to say, you know what? Let's walk away. Mm-hmm. But let him push us off the boat. When he pushes off the boat, then I guess that's it. And then we'll take it from there. You know, but easier said than done when it comes and the wolves, dogs, the piranhas, the sharks.
Yeah.
Are after you and they just want a piece of you. They just want to use you. Someone to abuse you verbally. It's tough because you're a human being with emotions. And you don't know how hard it is and how tough you need to be when it comes and it hits you. You know, I mean, you find yourself alone and yeah, you're going to cry. You're going to have those things, you know. I mean, I try not to cry, but the pain, you know, you feel this pain of just, you know, you don't know what to do at this point. And you don't know who to turn to because everybody left.
Right, yeah.
The people that that were your friends that you used to take out, the hangarounds, you know, nobody calls you anymore. You know, it's like, oh, all right, so you learn hard lessons like friendship. You know, those people were just using you. And we were just two European guys that were going with the flow, having a good time, trusting everybody, naive, didn't know. And that's when we started to learn, you know, our lessons, yeah, life lessons.
A lot of hard lessons all at once.
Everything,
as well.
Yeah, everything came at once. It's like it poured on us. And I feel very lucky and blessed that I took it a day at a time. Also went to rehab and I understood right away, like real quick, like, yo, you better stop this. Otherwise, you won't have any other chance. And
right.
I talked to some of my doctors and we're like, hey, I said, listen, if you focus on your health, make sure you stay healthy and that face looks the same.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, okay. You know, do this. If you do this, you can, of course, you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to do your homework, reinvent yourself, work on your talent. And my goal was to become a singer-songwriter always. So I went back to the drawing board and went at it. You know, learn how to play guitar, learn how to write, co-produced my first solo album called Love Revolution after Rob and Fab, because when Rob left us, I was like, I'm going to keep going. I tried for years to keep going. Let's go, bro. Let's go. But I was already working on myself, making sure that there is an afterlife and after Milli Vanilli, because that was my dream. And I was never going to stop. I'm pretty, resilient.
Yeah, resilient.
I am. I will never, ever stop.
This episode is sponsored in part by NetSuite. I remember when this came out and I couldn't afford it, or I should say we couldn't afford it because it was for the business. And I was so disappointed because NetSuite does everything. This is like the dashboard for your whole business. If your business was a car, this would be the dashboard that you need, running everything, automating everything. Because there are a few things in business as painful as not having any clue what's coming up. Not knowing how sales is going, not knowing if the plan is being executed, not knowing the status of your orders, not knowing how much cash you have on hand. accurate revenue expenses during the quarter? How many people do you have to ask to get these answers? That's why people have hour-long meetings just to get the status of this stuff, and then you're only getting an update once a week, and that's a week old. What if the answers you needed were right on your freaking phone? Well, now they are with NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite, the cloud-based business management platform, real-time visibility into all the operations of your business. This is the one source of truth for revenues, expenses, customers, orders. HR is even in there if you want them to be. But let's keep HR out of there, shall we? Toby. Was that the guy's name from The Office, Jason? Toby, the HR guy that no one liked?
I never watched The Office.
You never watched The Office?
No.
Jeez. Well, I bet you they use NetSuite at Dunder Mifflin as well. Also used by MuleSoft, Ring, Spotify, and surf brands like Moles Royale. I've never heard of that, but it's apparently a big surf brand. NetSuite's offering our listeners a free 60-minute business review with an expert in your industry to identify opportunities to turbocharge your growth. Take advantage of that. That sounds like a really good idea, actually. To get your free growth review, go to netsuite.com/Jordan. That's NetSuite, S-U-I-T-E, not like candy, the other one. netsuite.com/Jordan. It's good to know things, and now you do with NetSuite. This episode is also sponsored by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. So, this is the mortgage company that decided to ask why. And this is funny. I didn't know, by the way, Jason, before we started talking about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, I didn't realize that there's so much freaking pay. It's bonkers. And I just thought, okay, so then what? Somebody's got to scan this stuff in. I mean, it's so inefficient. You're initialing stuff. Initials never stopped anyone from defaulting. Trust me, I'm a lawyer. Oh, that's a good outtake right there. Good the quote. But why can't you get approved in minutes rather than weeks? Why do you have to have some so-called experts file the application for you with other people who are the actual loan officer? None of this makes any sense to me. Why can't you make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Why can't there be a client-focused technological mortgage solution? Yeah, Quicken Loans answered all these questions and more with Rocket Mortgage, which gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. So you can do a refi on there or a new one. And Rocket Mortgage is simple, finally, and apparently more environmentally friendly than a regular mortgage. I'll give them that. And it allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. You can actually slide things around and compare. So whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage will give you that transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Forbes.
Rocket Mortgage is an equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
I want to go back a little bit, because you started, before everything came down, you started winning awards. I mean, you won 3 AMAs.
True.
And were you guys still like 20, 21?
I think it was more like 23.
23, okay.
Yeah. But he was older than me. He was 2 years older.
Okay.
Right. He was my big brother.
Right. Right. So there's this picture of you guys holding these awards.
Oh, yeah.
Were you conscious of this at the time? Like, these are explosives.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For me, they were like, you know, these cartoon bombs.
Yeah.
With a mesh.
Yeah, the fuse is lit. Exactly.
The fuse is lit and it's about to blow up. Yeah, I knew that. And it was scary because we didn't know when. It was coming. I knew it was coming. Didn't know exactly when. And the aftermath of it. Like, how would I take this?
So you started planning for this early. Because
in my head, yeah.
And in your head, of course. Because you won a Grammy for Best New Artist. And Rob goes up to the mic and says, there are a lot of artists outside that could achieve the same thing. And it's almost like he's saying, actually, there's a lot of people out there that could have done this because we haven't done it. Maybe I'm reading into this a little bit. I don't know.
Well, it was a reach out. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a desperate reach out, but also try to inspire anybody. You can make anything happen if you believe in yourself. You know, he tried to give it a positive spin in the end, you know, because we couldn't come out and be like, yo, by the way,
yeah,
you know, we're going to let Frank Farian handle that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, if that's what he was going to do, we were not sure again. You know, we were trying to transition, you know.
because it was a threat from him at that point. But there must have been a part of you guys that said, he's never going to burn this down. It's too lucrative. We're at the peak of our career. He's not going to do that. He'd be crazy to do
that.
Yeah,
we were not sure. Yeah, it was like, but, you know, his ego was so strong and it was so ready to just tear us down, like he told us, you know. So his ego was, like I said, it was all about Mr. Frank Farian.
Tell me about the hours after you win the Grammy. Are you celebrating or are you nervous? Are you silent? Like, what's going through your head at that time? Because it's kind of like a staircase and at the end of it is just a drop, but you don't know which step is the last one.
After the Grammy, oh man, it was a lot of, it was a lot of drinking.
A lot of drinking.
A lot of drinking, a lot of medicating. You know, that's what it was. Get out of this moment. You know, when you get this, any artist is trying to stay in that moment, to be in the moment. And we were doing everything we could to get out of that moment. Because it was, yeah, it was getting too hot, you know? And the bomb.
The fuse was getting closer.
The fuse was burning brighter and brighter and getting to the explosive part.
Oh, man. I can only imagine the pressure that you guys both felt, especially at that age. And then after Frank comes out and tells everybody, look, they didn't do the vocals. And there had already been rumors, right? Because I think one of the guys had gone on like Geraldo Rivera's cheesy little show and said
that's
something.
True. There was some.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was Frank's doing.
So he planted all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was doing that.
Just to what? Torture you guys?
Yeah, he was just like, let me get those out the picture. You know, he was the one doing that. Yeah, go figure. You know, but hey, things happen the way they're going to happen in life. You know, and if I didn't go through those ups and downs, I would never be the person I am today.
I'm sure that that's the case, but at some point, I mean, you're so young at this point. How does it feel at that age to literally almost lose everything overnight?
Well, you don't feel nothing. You're numb. You know, you, with time, you're starting to feel, you're starting to give a name to what you're feeling. That comes with like reading self-help books and going to rehab and talking to the psychiatrist. And then you're starting to figure it out. You know, that's the only way I was able to work it out. Meditate. Educate yourself, you know, learn more about yourself, because I didn't get a chance to grow up as an adult. So it was time to grow up. It was time to see what you were made of. You know, you can't really judge a human being on the way up where the machine is there for you. Everything is done for you. I think you can judge a man when they're down. What is he going to do next? You know, and I'm still going and I'm building and all in time.
So what was the direct aftermath for you guys personally? I mean, I know you must have hit some sort of, you had to give your Grammy back. It's the only time that's ever happened.
Well, that's also a misconception. You know,
you elected to give the Grammy back, right?
Well, what happened was we're doing an interview for the Los Angeles Times and we told the journalist, hey, you know, we're going to give it back. And then he did an interview with the Grammys and he told them that, and then they jumped the gun and say, oh, yeah, we want it back. But the reality is, come get it, you know, come to my house.
Yeah.
But we thought it was the right thing to do to give it back. That's all. You know, any decent human being would say, hey, you know what? Let me get it back to you guys. We worked hard, though.
Yeah.
We worked our asses off, you know. But, yeah, we're going to give it back. And so we did.
What was the aftermath in the days and months? Of course, you guys had some depression.
Definitely depression. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's...
But were you going out? Were you living a normal life?
I stayed in for months and months and months at a time.
Really?
Every time we went out, paparazzis would show up. So we decided to like, yeah, you go your way. I do my thing. Like, you know, go out earlier. I'll go out later. You attract less attention.
Did you guys live together at this time?
At this time, yeah. And eventually we decided, yo, it's time to, you know, live separately and get your own rhythm and start to work on yourself. because we're always together, depending on each other, you know, codependency, that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, so Rob had to really get on his feet. I had less of a problem. For me, it was just a social thing. His drug addiction turned into a problem.
The drugs for you were a social thing.
Yeah.
But for him, it was an addiction.
Yeah.
And so you, it doesn't surprise me then that you decided to live apart, because you were growing, you were trying to grow away from that. And it seems like he really doubled down on.
He doubled down. Yeah. It's like the sly stone. It's a family affair. It's a family affair. It's a story of two guys who grow together and they go their separate ways. That's what happens. And that's what happened to us, you know, grew up together, but we grew apart. Unfortunately, you know, and I'm not a psychiatrist. But there are things in the makeup of a human being that makes that one human being will lose himself into alcoholism and drug addiction because of the fact that he is missing something. You know, when there's a void, you can do anything. You can try to fill it up with anything. It won't work like that.
Do you think it hit Rob harder because he was adopted and he didn't have his strong
roots? That's what I'm saying. I'm not a psychiatrist, but yeah. The fact that there was that love missing, being held as a kid is something that I believe necessary, you know, and some others work it out because mm-hmm. they're stronger. And Rob appeared to be stronger, but was very sensitive inside. And he lived with that emptiness and always tried to fill it up with the wrong things, with the wrong friends, substance abuse, and so on and so on.
What advice would you have for somebody who's going through a really humiliating, hard time, something uniquely embarrassing, you know, where they feel like everyone around them views them differently?
I say, F everybody. Regroup. Find yourself. Work on your weaknesses and your strength. Find the balance between the two. Work on whatever it is that you want to become. Work it. There is no substitute discipline, hardcore, wanting it, dreaming about it, living it. And it's not just like, it's also your health is part of the equation. You have to be healthy to keep up the pace. You got to work out. That's very important. I'm a performer, so I have to perform. So physically, I don't want to be limited, because I remember back in the days, I was so fit. I was lip syncing. So I could do whatever I want. Now I'm on stage every weekends. And you got to come check it out. You know, I merge both. I can move. After all those years, I'm feeling great. So I say to anyone out there that goes through any struggle like that, find yourself and work on what it is you want to become. And that will give you strength. First, you got to fall. Pick up the pieces, crawl, keep crawling, and then you're going to start walking. And you're going to have like a little kick, you know. Then the knees are going to go pop up a little more. Suddenly you'll be like a sprinter. And I'm like, bam, shoulders up, you know. Suddenly you can feel your power. You feel your strength. You can feel yourself. You can feel that there's no limit to what you can accomplish because of the fact that you're putting the hard work into it. Discipline. I'm disciplined. I'm a soldier. Hoo-ah. Till the end. That's the way it is. For anything you want to accomplish, whether you want to be an architect, a teacher, give it all you got. We only live once, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's a concept. You only live once. So why should you be lazy? So live your life to the fullest. You look back, no regrets.
So if you, because to some people that might sound like a very long string of maybe bumper stickers or something, then they're going, but how do I apply this? So,
but it's very, like I said, discipline. Mm-hmm. So whatever, if you want to be a marathon runner, what you going to do? You're going to run, you're going to wake up every morning, have a great breakfast because you need the proper energy and protein in your breakfast in order to run the distance. Then run that distance every day. Time it with your watch. Second day, speed up the process. And so on. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, take a day off. You got to take a day off. But that's it, you know, discipline.
At what point after this all went down, and you're in your house, you can't go out because of the paparazzi, did you decide, do you remember a conscious moment where you said, all right, I got to get it together? Or was this first rehab, then self-help books, then you just woke up and said, hey, Rob's not got it together? Or was this something where you said, look, I feel good only when I'm rebuilding?
No, the here is very simple. Music has given me from the age of, you know, from the age of like, I can't remember. It gave me happiness, true happiness. When I listened to music, whether it was Earth, Wind, and Fire, whether it was James Brown or the Beatles or Jackson 5, it gave me joy. So whatever was going on, you know, like whatever was going on in my life at the time, I would turn on the radio, I'd put up my cassette in, Grandmaster Flash or whatever. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, everything would disappear. My surroundings would change, and I'd feel like, okay, I can deal with whatever happened to me an hour earlier. It just gave me clarity. That's what happened. So, fast forward, music has now been a big part of my life, and I cannot live without music. So the first thing that came to mind was like, okay, it's going to be rough. But music is what I want to do. I cannot live without it. There's nothing else I'd rather do. So for me, it was music. So learn how to songwrite. And because of the life that I lived, now I could actually write a text, put a melody to it, and then put a groove to it. And suddenly you had a song. You had a story with a beginning, middle, and end. So naturally, and I used to write poetry as a young kid. So I was always a storyteller. That's part of my makeup. And then music, when a musician picks up a guitar and he starts playing, I can freestyle. Like right there, I can write you a song on the spot, depending on what I felt today or what I saw yesterday. It's just part of how I can express myself. It's my medium. So there is no, will you? No. It was like, yo, this is exactly what I want to do. I've found what I wanted to do in my life. When you discovered what you want to do in life, don't waver. That's it. It brings you happiness and joy and strength and purpose. You feel like you found purpose.
Do you feel like Rob had a different set of values when it came to purpose and things like that? Because it's clear that, I mean, eventually he passed away from his addictions, but you had been focused on rebuilding and focused on the music. Do you think he was maybe more attached to a life of celebrity or the past, perhaps, than you were at rebuilding and music and the future?
Robert lost himself on the way, you know. And like I said, my thing was to becoming a singer-songwriter was my dream. So I didn't weather my mind. You know, that's what I wanted to do. And Rob, on the way, got lost. I did everything I could to just help him out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can't bring a horse to water.
Right, right. Yeah, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink expression you're looking for there. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't force anybody to do what they don't want to do if they don't want to do it themselves. And you're the only person that can do it for yourself when it comes to drug addiction.
When you heard about that, were you surprised or did you see that coming as well at that time?
You know, I knew possibly if he kept doing what he was doing, because, you know, there's only a few options. I was devastated, of course.
Yeah.
It was a sad moment. And I wish I could have stopped it, you know, but there was nothing I could do. The news came out and it was dramatic. Kimalo brought me the news that day. It was terrible. You know, and everything that I hoped would not happen happened, unfortunately. You know, that's life, you know. We're not in control. As much as we think we are in this life, we're not. So you do your homework, you do what you need to do. That can't change. And then everything will come together at some point.
When you look at what happened to you and Rob with the with Ferry and the industry and the lip syncing, and you look at artists now who are using auto-tune to the point where they won't even perform, some of these guys won't even perform on stage because they sound totally different than they do on the record. Do you ever look at that and go, damn, we were just in the wrong place at the wrong time or the right place at the wrong time?
No, I don't. I just let people do what they do. They do what they do. I look at what they do and it's like, that's what it is. You know, I'm not going to point the finger at anybody. Everybody does.
Well, of course.
Everybody does what they do for a reason. Most important is when I do what I do, I want it to be correct.
I would imagine at some point, maybe you saw, was it Meek Mill who was trolling Drake and he put Drake's face over a picture was it a picture of you or was it Rob?
No, actually, it was my jacket and it was my hair. So it was me partly.
Yeah, in the blue, right. Yeah.
And it was like, ah, damn. You know, they didn't take Rob, they took me. It made sense. I'm still alive, so
yeah. It would have been a little harsh on, I think, to
pin it on Rob.
And so they, and the implication was Drake is faking it. He had a ghostwriter for his tracks. But when you see something like that, at some point you just must be thinking, okay, this is a part of my legacy that will never go away. So how have you incorporated that into who you are now? Because it's something that can't put away.
You just have to do what you do, you know, forget about whatever is going on outside. It's about what you do and how you handle yourself. In the end, I want people to know me for being a great entertainer, a great singer, songwriter, entertainer, survivor, storyteller. That's what I want people to know me for.
Perfect.
That's it.
Fab, thanks so much.
A pleasure, man.
I loved it. And one sort of... probably not off the record question. It's raining outside. How many times a week or a day do people make some sort of blame it on the rain joke that you have to pretend is funny?
You know, Blame It on the Rain is a great song.
Yeah.
And I feel honored every time they make that joke because, you know, it stays in there. You know, we are part of their soundtrack, the soundtrack of their lives. That's what happens when you make music and that music enters their subconscious, and it's cool. I can't wait to write my own song and have it stay in their subconscious as well.
Yeah.
And have them make jokes, and I'll be like, yeah, cool. This time, it's mine. But I, you know, around wherever I am, whether I'm in Asia, whether I'm in Europe, whether I'm in America, they know the songs. They'll sing it in the airport. Security, you start singing, girl, you know it's true. It's too funny, man. So, I put a lot of smiles on people's faces, and music kept me alive. It sure did. So I love what I do. I'm going to keep going. And I'll say one thing before I go. It's like, you know, I'm that car that you want to buy. Eventually, you'll see it around more and more and more and more. So it's been an incredible journey and lots of hard work, more hard work. It's coming ahead, but I'm coming for your ears, and you'll see me.
Thanks, Fab.
My pleasure.
Jason, thanks for setting this up, man. This was a really good show, and I was surprised it actually happened, and I was a little bit like, what am I walking into when I got there?
It took me so long to convince you to do this interview, and I'm like, wait till you meet him, you'll understand.
Totally.
And you're just like, what are you talking about? I'm like, just wait till you meet him. You'll understand. And I think you finally got it, right?
I did. He's just such a good dude. And being a good person is not you shouldn't have to get an award for that, right? But the thing is, he, of all people, could be a miserable, depressed, bitter thing, you know, just horrible, horrible situation. But he's the nicest, most giving, outgoing, friendly, loving dude. And it's a little shocking. And I hate to make this comparison, Jason, but he reminds me in a few ways of these guys that go to prison for something they didn't do and then come out and they're just like, yeah, it's okay. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? I want to kill people who put you behind bars. And they're like, no, no, it's just this is what happened. We can work to change this. And I'm just like, what? You know, the emotional discipline that he has, the fact that he's going after it still, he doesn't seem to have any real bitterness towards it. He's upset at the situation, how it turned out, I guess you could say. Maybe not even upset. He's just totally accepted it. It's really incredible.
He's grateful to still have fans, and that's what gets him up every day. If you watch his videos on his Twitter account, he's always grateful. It's incredible. And he just always has a smile. And like you said in the intro, he was sick as a dog and just wanted to talk to you and came in and powered through like a professional, but as somebody who just loves to tell his story and get it out there. He's a lovely guy.
Yeah, lovely is a good word for it.
And, you know, I'm glad to call him a friend.
Lovely is a good word for it. To put this in perspective, he was so sick that he goes, hey, can you turn the lights down a little? It hurts. And I'm like, oh, we've all been there. You know,
yeah.
Like when you have a migraine that's so bad that the lights hurt.
Yeah.
But then you show up and do a show. I don't know. I don't think I would do that.
I know you wouldn't.
I'd be like, "Well, I'm going to bed.
Reschedule.
Yeah. Boot it. I'm like, I stubbed my toe on the side of my bed. Cancel. Clear my day.
Clear my schedule. Jen, get in here.
Exactly. Exactly. Jen, get in here. Give me sympathy and then wipe my calendar. Exactly. Well, great big thank you to you, Jason, for setting this up, and a great big thank you to Fab. He is just a great dude. We're linked up to his Instagram and some of his current work in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this one, don't forget to thank him on Twitter. That'll be linked up as well. JordanHarbinger.com/podcast is where you can always find those. Tweet at me your number one takeaway here from Fab. I'm at Jordan Harbinger on both Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget, if you want to learn how to apply everything you just heard here on the show, make sure you go grab the worksheets. Those are in the show notes, JordanHarbinger.com/podcast. Hey, we have an Alexa skill, just in case you don't know. If you've got an Amazon Echo, Echo Dot, or something thereabouts, we've got a daily briefing, which has clips from the show. So if you want to refresh your memory, even if you listen to all the shows, on some cool takeaways, or if you just want to get a little sneak peek of what you might get from specific episodes, these things are updated every single day. You can go to JordanHarbinger.com/Alexa. And it will install. If you go there from your computer, it'll ask you to log in as Amazon. It'll install it for you. Or you can use your phone and use the app to navigate around the store. Just search for Jordan Harbinger. It should be the only result. This is really cool. This is made by our super fan, Doug Podgorny. And it's funny. His email shows up as DJ Podgorny on my Gmail. And I was like, what a dumb DJ name. It turned out to be his real name. So, sorry, Doug. I was... not my finest moment, but I thought it was your. I thought, what a weird, you know, maybe it's foreign. Maybe that word means something in like Macedonian. I don't know. But thanks for making that Alexa skill for us. JordanHarbinger.com/Alexa. This episode was produced and edited by Jason DeFilippo. Edited over and over by Jason DeFilippo. This one was. Because
yes, it was.
You're still enjoying this one. Show notes by Robert Fogarty. Booking back office and last minute miracles by Jen Harbinger. I'm your host, Jordan Harbinger. Would love the iTunes review. If you use Apple Podcasts or iTunes to listen to the show, and even if you don't, it'd be great to go in there and write us something. Because I'll tell you, people love the people on our team. That's how we see those. They help. They stay there forever. They're really helpful because on the old show, we had so many. And on the new show, we're trying to climb back up that mountain. We've got some instructions for you in case it seems cryptic, which it is. Thanks, Apple. JordanHarbinger.com/subscribe. Choose a unique nickname. Otherwise, it won't submit. But these are very helpful for us, and they really mean a lot to us. And we do share them with the whole team. So go ahead and throw that up there. We're going to have a contest for those soon. Don't wait for that. You're going to get a bonus if you do it now before the contest. That's all I'll say for that. Share the show with those you love and even those you don't. A lot more like this in the pipeline. We're excited to bring it to you. And in the meantime, do your best to apply what you hear on the show so you can live what you listen. And we'll see you next time.